This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
In this podcast, I'm going to talk about finding sources, and in particular some advanced techniques for finding people, experts, people who might be on the ground at a particular event, or people that you need to reach for an investigation. I'll talk about advanced techniques for using social media, advanced search techniques, and also some things to be wary of when using the online world to find sources. Before I begin, I want to start with a big caveat about something that's called nodocentrism. And nodocentrism is a term that was coined, I think, by a guy called Ulysses Mejias in an article, a research paper called The Limits of Social Networks for Organizing the Social. And nodocentrism, as Mejias defines it, is basically about the fact that networks are incapable of recognizing anything that is not on the network. In other words, anything that is not a node. And of course, we as online journalists rely massively on networks in our everyday work. The internet is itself a massive network, and anything that is not on that network is, to all intents and purposes, invisible. That has a couple of impacts for us as journalists. First of all, it means we always have to be aware that if we rely on the internet to gather information, there will always be a section of society that is not visible through that means. And that means that we need to use other avenues where we can to find sources as well. But it also means that as a journalist, part of our role is to make things visible that might be invisible to the rest of society, to the networked society that we live in. The role of a journalist is partly about making the hidden findable. It is about giving a voice to the voiceless, to connecting communities and verifying and debunking information. Those four roles are particularly important in a networked age when people might be voiceless because they are not online, because they are hard to find on online networks, or they might not be connected to each other through those networks. So seeking things offline and putting them online, if they need to be, if it's in the public interest to do so, is a really important part of journalism, and one of the reasons why it's important to have advanced sourcing techniques as a journalist. If all you're doing is reaching for the most easily findable expert or the most vocal source online, then you know you're not really doing your job as a journalist. You should be looking for harder to find voices to use. So let's begin with why you might need a source in the first place. And there's a number of reasons which are listed in the presentation which go with this podcast. Firstly, of course, you will often need a source to move a story on. You will often look for a reaction to some sort of event and find a source who can give you that reaction, which then becomes a story in itself. You might want to find a source in order to give you a response, to give them an opportunity, a right of reply to accusations that are being made or complaints that are being made about them. Often you're looking for witnesses who have been at particular places at particular times to describe what actually happened. You might want a case study who can tell you what the impact is of some news event on them or their loved ones. Often you'll be looking for experts to shed some expert analysis, insight into what is happening and what the impact of that is more broadly within society or within a particular sector. You might want a representative who can speak for a larger group. And often you're looking for sources who have an impact themselves, who are powerful or who have lots of money. Those sorts of people, what they say, often has an impact on lots of other people. So how do you find these case studies? How do you find people online? Well, it's important to ask a few key questions when you're looking for these people. Firstly, where are they likely to be, both online and offline? And secondly, what will they specifically say? And some good examples of this to get you thinking about this technique are, for example, if you wanted to find a twin, how would you find a twin? Now, if you weren't really thinking strategically, you might go online and search for the word twins, and you will find lots of material about twins, lots of stories about twins, but you won't necessarily easily find the twins themselves. So how do you find the twins themselves? What about a diabetic? Again, search for diabetes or diabetics, you'll find information about them, but not necessarily the people themselves. Now, in this case, the simple answer is the words that a twin is going to use, and no one else, are going to be my twin brother, my twin sister. Only a twin is going to talk about my twin. A diabetic is going to talk about my insulin. Someone who is unemployed might talk about my job centre advisor or my JSA, Job Seekers Allowance. These are really useful phrases. The word my or I is a really useful way to narrow down to the people who you're actually interested in, rather than getting lots of results of stories about those people. Now, in terms of where those people might be, it's useful looking in online communities like Facebook groups, Facebook pages, message boards, forums, particular blogs, even hashtags. And there are a number of search techniques that you can use to narrow your searches accordingly. So, for example, you can use in-title colon message board, or limit your search to a particular site. And you'll see examples of these on the slides that go with this podcast. If you're looking for witnesses on social media, then obviously places like Twitter are particularly useful, and you can use advanced search techniques to specify the geocode, the latitude and longitude that you want to search around. One useful technique is to look for keywords and swear words. When people are witnessing extreme events, they will often swear on social media, and that's quite a useful technique to find people who have seen those events. When you do find these people, be wary of crashing in and asking for their images or their material, as many journalists start to do the same. Your own Twitter profile and your reputation on Twitter or other social media accounts are going to be really important in demonstrating how kind of reliable you are, how much they might, they're basically going to use that information to make a decision on how much to trust you. If lots of people are already asking them, check that first and see how the responses are going. Increasingly, news organisations are trying not to fall into this wolf pack mentality of kind of piling in, trying to get material from people at the centre of an event. Now, TweetDeck is particularly useful for advanced searches around events and other situations. For example, you can specify that you only want tweets with images. You can exclude terms. You can specify that it's only verified accounts if you're interested in public figures who are going to be verified. You can even search within people on particular lists, for example. You can also look for people who are followed by yourself, for example, or who follow you. And again, on the slides for this podcast, you'll find a pile of operators, Twitter operators. These are words that you can use in your search to narrow down your search. You can also filter, for example, on the number of retweets or favourites or replies that someone has had. And of course, you can set up multiple columns in TweetDeck to narrow down your search accordingly. Once you find someone who happens to be at the scene of an event, you can also turn on notifications so that you are automatically alerted for any more updates from that person. When you get some images, you should check that those images haven't been used before, that they're not some sort of hoax. Google's reverse image search is really useful on this front and can also lead you to other people who might have used the same image. Moving on to finding experts, some useful techniques here in terms of thinking about where those people might be include searching on university websites, searching on journal publishers, and searching on specialist academic networks like academia.edu. In terms of keywords, you might look for professor and the term you're interested in, or you might look for the experts directory. Increasingly, universities now have a directory of all the expertise that their academics represent. You can also look on non-profit body websites by using site:org.uk to narrow your search results to those types of bodies. If you're looking for charities, you can also look on the Charity Commission website. There's often the bigger charities are overwhelmed, so it's useful to narrow down to the smaller ones. On Wikipedia, you'll find a list of unions and professional organisations. You can obviously look for local religious institutions and community groups as well. All of these are going to be useful in finding people with experiences or who can speak on behalf of a group of people. Other places to look include Facebook pages, LinkedIn advanced search by company, and FollowerWonk, which allows you to search Twitter biographies. Now, between all of our skills, you should be able to identify who it is that you're looking for, what sort of language they're likely to be using, where they are likely to be online, and then narrow your search accordingly using search engine operators. Search engine operators, again, are things like site, in URL, in title, file type, that narrow down the results that you get. Based on these skills, you should be able to find, for example, an expert on worklessness or a case study for a story on obesity, an authority on tattooing or a witness of traffic problems. What I'd like you to do now is apply some of these skills to a story that you're interested in. Find an expert, find a case study, or at least try to, and see how you get on with putting those techniques into practice.